This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'd like to introduce to you from the great state of Texas today, John Needler on Preaching Sunday. Here's John.
Hello, everyone. This is John Needler from Georgetown, Texas. And tonight, I'd like to speak about a day in your courts. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for all your benefits, how you forgive us of all our sins, heal us of every sickness and every disease. Father, you fill our mouths with good things so our youth is renewed like the eagles. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Make our path straight as we put all of our trust in you. In Jesus' name. So the title of the message is Better is One Day in Your Courts. And we're going to look at Psalms 84, verse 1, verses 1 through 12. Psalms 84, 1 through 12, verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So the main verse I want to look at is Psalms 84, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. See, we need to make a decision to stand. We need to make up our minds. This is no time to sit on our hands. To quote Mark Taylor, some of you may know Prophet Mark Taylor, the Fireman's Prophecies. His quote is, "Get off your behinds and get on the front line." Amen. It's no time to sit on our hands. It's time to put our hand to the plow. Or to quote Dale Gentry, we need to be red hot for God. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. The King James Version of verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, I believe the enemy wants to come in and tell us that our lives are not what they should be. Our lives are somehow, we're missing out. It's not exciting. But serving the Lord should be the most exciting thing We do. Every moment of our lives should be seeking Him, walking with Him, blessing Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, walking along with God, walking hand in hand with Him, and being excited about what's around the next corner. What's the next step? Where do we go from here? Verse 26, He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now I think this is fascinating that he speaks of Moses, that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Also 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says, Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day, for our light and temporary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that far outweighs our troubles. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are working for us a far exceeding weight of glory. So we can't really compare these light afflictions, the things we go through from day to day, any kind of struggle that we face because we name the name of Christ, because we're following Jesus, can't be compared to the far exceeding weight of glory. Glory of heaven, glory of walking alongside with God, hand in hand with God. Back to verse 26 of Hebrews 11, it says, He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Here the writer, in effect, speaks of himself as bearing, quote, the reproach of the anointed of the Lord, pleading in his name and identifying himself with his cause. Throughout the whole of their history, the people of Israel were the people of the Christ, or the people of the Anointed One. Their national existence originated in the promise to Abraham, which was a promise of the Christ. Until the fullness of time should come, their mission was to prepare the way for Him. Now, I want to look at a few more verses that describe this promise that was made to Abraham. Genesis 22:18 in the King James Version says, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So it said, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And if we look at Galatians 3:16, verse 16 says, The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many, but, and to your seed, meaning one, who is Christ. So this is all scripture. It's saying that the promise that was made to Abraham that in his seed would all the nations of the earth be blessed, he was speaking of Christ. Not the nation of Israel as a whole, but of Christ. And we know that it's only through Christ that we're truly blessed. And all the nations. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So God's promise is to all nations that they would be blessed through his seed, through Christ. Another example of making up our minds ahead of time, we really need to ask ourselves, we really need to examine ourselves and see where we're at in our walk with God. We can ask ourselves, what would we do if we were confronted with a choice? Would we choose Christ? Would we choose to name the name of Christ? Or would we deny Christ? If we're placed in a situation where we're going to suffer or be persecuted, will we still say yes to Christ, or will we deny him? And I want to look at the three Hebrew men in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. Verse 8, it says, "At this time some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. Your majesty, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up.' Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?'" So King Nebuchadnezzar, he's given these men another chance. Okay, maybe you didn't quite understand what the whole issue was. You know, it's not a big deal. Just bow down to these gods. You know, we know that you serve the Most High God, but I really need you to do this for me because, you know, you are some of the leaders. You are some of the high officials here in the kingdom. So, you know, I'll give you another chance. Maybe you misunderstood. But verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up.'" So basically they said, "King, we don't even need to think about it. We don't need to discuss it. We don't need to debate on this matter. We've already made up our minds. We've made up our decisions. We've talked about this before. We knew this was bound to happen. We will not bow down. And our God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand, but even if he does not." Can we say that today? Because we know God can. We know he will. We know the right scriptures to pray. We know the right things to say. But even if he doesn't, will we still not bow down? Will we still serve the Lord? Even if he doesn't do things our way? See, we take for granted the house of God. We take for granted the presence of God. I really love that scripture in the Psalms 84. It really speaks of our fellowship with God. Psalms 84, verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Can we actually say that today? Do we look forward to meeting with God's people? Do we look forward to spending time with Jesus? Do we listen for his voice of direction? Do we long to be in his presence, in his dwelling place? Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Are we ever praising our God? What is our relationship like? Is our faith good enough to save us? As the Apostle Paul said, is your faith good enough to save you? Verse 6, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appear before God in Zion. So that tells me that this type of person that's longing for God's presence, walking along hand in hand with God, that even though they're going through troubles, even though they're going through times of trouble or weeping, it says here it becomes a place of springs, and that they go from strength to strength. See, God has made us in such a way where we need him to complete us, and not just one time, not just once a week, not just twice a week, but every day. God made us in such a way also where he wants us to grow. He wants us to produce good fruit. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get to a point where the devil has nothing on us. When the devil comes around or the enemy comes around, they have nothing against us. We're above reproach. The enemy can't come in and draw us away as he wills. But as he comes around and tries to tempt us or shoot at us with his fiery darts, are we able to lift up the shield of faith? Are we walking with his armor on? Or have we laid the armor down? God wants us to be warriors. Jesus is a warrior, and he wants us to be like him. Another person I want to look at here is Samson. Speaking of taking, we take for granted the house of God. We take for granted the presence of God. We believe that we're saved by grace through faith. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we take for granted of what God has done. Maybe we've become unthankful, bitter, complainers, talking back, angry. But Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 15, and you know the story of Delilah. She tried to get Samson to tell her what his secret of his strength was. And really we see Samson here on the wrong side of the fence, you might say. He's not in the right place. He's God's appointed man of the day. He's He's one of God's judges that was set up for this time, but he was also flirting with sin. He was in the enemy's camp. Verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded. She prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more, he has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And we know the rest of the story. He was bound. He was placed, treading out the grain like an oxen would do. He was used as a spectacle in their arenas, in their place of entertainment to look upon. And then he asked God for grace. If he could just this last time be given strength and avenge his enemies. And let's read on in Judges 16, starting in verse 25. It says, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I might lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes. Then Samson reached towards the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. So God did give him revenge. God did give him a second chance. God renewed his strength. The part I like is after binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to grinding grain in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And that gives me a lot of hope. Basically, God's word gives us a lot of hope. God's word is our daily bread. It's our manna from heaven. It's Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is so good to renew us, strengthen us, deliver us. What he's done for others, he will do for you. He delivered Samson. He can deliver you. Even if you've turned your back on God, you might have said some things, been angry at God and walked away. But he's still there waiting for you to return. God is good all the time. God is good and God is great. That's a good prayer for us to pray. The prayer that we hear children's praying, God is good and God is great. That's an awesome truth. If God were not good, it wouldn't matter how great he was. And if he was only great but not good, we'd be in big trouble. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we've all gone astray. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Scripture also says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is waiting with open arms. He's ready to receive you back into his house. Psalms 84:10. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." That's an amazing statement. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. So it's really better for us to stay close to God, stay close to Jesus, walking in the Spirit, striving for perfection in Christ. Our perfection, our salvation is in Christ. It's his righteousness. God demands perfection, and it is found in Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn our hearts to you tonight. We know that you are a big God, that you're a good Father. Great is your faithfulness to us who believe. We put all of our trust, all of our confidence in you tonight. We turn our back on the world. We turn our back on the flesh. We turn our back on the enemy. Father, we make a decision tonight that following you and suffering the affliction with God's people is better than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Father, we know that your ways are good and right and lovely. Father, help us to come into submission with you. Father, we pray that your will would become connected with our will. Let your will be done. We pray that prayer tonight, just like Jesus prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to John Niebler today on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate you listening today. For more information, you can always contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com, or please visit us at bpnradio.com. Have a tremendous day.